Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar and today Mezekes Bava Metzia Daf Hey, the first parak Shnei Mochsin. This parak has been dedicated to the memory of Mr. Moshe Horn, Rav Moshe Manes ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara records an incident of a shepherd to whom people usually gave their animals in front of Edim, but one day gave them without Edim present. He later denied having received them, but witnesses testified that they saw him eating two of the animals. Rabbi Zera said that if we rule like Rabbi Chiya's first law, that one swears when a claim is partially substantiated by Edim, then the shepherd would have to swear regarding the remaining claim. Abai asked him, how can he swear? Ba'gazlanhu, but he's a proven thief and disqualified from swearing. Rabbi Zera responded, Shekenegdo kaminu, I meant that his opponent, the plaintiff, swears to collect payment, which is the rabbinically enacted law, when the defendant is disqualified from swearing. Although Rav Nachman taught that the rabbis enacted that even one who fully denies a claim must swear a shvuas heses, the Gemara explains that this alone would not have enabled the plaintiff to swear and collect from the shepherd because this shvuah is a rabbinical enactment, but tekantelo of dinan, and we do not apply one enactment to another enactment, meaning to have his opponent swear. Point number two, Abai had objected to the shepherd swearing because he had been confirmed a thief. The Gemara said he should be disqualified even without specific testimony of thievery because Rav Yehuda said that an ordinary shepherd is invalid as a witness because shepherds are assumed to allow their animals to graze in other private fields. It answers that this is only where the animals are his own. Rabbi Zera's case was a shepherd for other people's animals who was not automatically assumed to allow them to graze in private fields. This distinction must be true, for otherwise, anan chiyusa l'roa hechem masrinan, how can we give our animals to a hired shepherd if he'll commit thievery with them? The Torah says, Lifnei iver lo titen mikshol, do not place a stumbling block before the blind, which includes putting someone in a position where he'll sin. Elo chazokei in adam chotev alolo. Rather, there's a presumption that a person does not sin when there's no benefit for himself. Thus, a hired shepherd is not suspected of stealing. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yochanan taught that the Shavuah of the Mishnah was enacted to discourage people from seizing other people's cloaks and claiming them. The Gemara asks, Neima migu de chashid amamona chashidam ashvuasa. Let us say, since he's suspect in monetary matters, he's also suspect regarding swearing, meaning one who's prepared to steal would also swear falsely. The Gemara responds that we do not say, migu de chashid amamona chashid ashvuasa, because people are more hesitant to swear falsely than to steal. The Gemara tends to prove this from the fact that one who partially denies a debt must swear, even though we suspect he's attempting to withhold payment from his creditor. The Gemara rejects this proof because we assume the borrower intends to pay the debt, but is stalling for time. After more proofs are rejected, three rulings are quoted on Davav, which prove that one who is suspected of stealing is still relied upon to swear truthfully. Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and will explain the Mishnah Shvuah differently. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara records an incident of a shepherd to whom people usually gave their animals in front of Edim, but one day gave them without witnesses present. He later denied having received them, but witnesses testified that they saw him eating two of the animals. Rabbi Zera said that if we rule like Rabbi Chiya's first law, that one swears when a claim is partially substantiated by Edim, then the shepherd would have to swear regarding the remaining claim. Abai asked him, how can he swear? Ba'gazlanhu, but he's a proven thief and disqualified from swearing. Rabbi Zera responded, Shekenegdo kaminu, I meant that his opponent, the plaintiff, swears to collect payment, which is the rabbinically enacted law, when the defendant is disqualified from swearing. Although Rav Nachman taught that the rabbis enacted that even one who fully denies a claim must swear a shvuas heses, the Gemara explains that this alone would not have enabled the plaintiff to swear and collect from the shepherd because this shvuah is a rabbinical enactment, but tekantelo of dinan, and we do not apply one enactment to another enactment, meaning to have his opponent swear. Point number two, Abai had objected to the shepherd swearing because he had been confirmed a thief. The Gemara said he should be disqualified even without specific testimony of thievery because Rav Yehuda said that an ordinary shepherd is invalid as a witness because shepherds are assumed to allow their animals to graze in other private fields. It answers that this is only where the animals are his own. Rabbi Zera's case was a shepherd for other people's animals who was not automatically assumed to allow them to graze in private fields. This distinction must be true, for otherwise, anan chiyusa l'roa hechem masrinan, how can we give our animals to a hired shepherd if he'll commit thievery with them? The Torah says, Lifnei iver lo titen mikshol, do not place a stumbling block before the blind, which includes putting someone in a position where he'll sin. Elo chazokei in adam chotev alolo. Rather, there's a presumption that a person does not sin when there's no benefit for himself. Thus, a hired shepherd is not suspected of stealing. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yochanan taught that the Shavuah of the Mishnah was enacted to discourage people from seizing other people's cloaks and claiming them. The Gemara asks, Neima migu de chashid amamona chashidam ashvuasa. Let us say, since he's suspect in monetary matters, he's also suspect regarding swearing, meaning one who's prepared to steal would also swear falsely. The Gemara responds that we do not say, migu de chashid amamona chashid ashvuasa, because people are more hesitant to swear falsely than to steal. The Gemara tends to prove this from the fact that one who partially denies a debt must swear, even though we suspect he's attempting to withhold payment from his creditor. The Gemara rejects this proof because we assume the borrower intends to pay the debt, but is stalling for time. After more proofs are rejected, three rulings are quoted on Davav, which prove that one who is suspected of stealing is still relied upon to swear truthfully. Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and will explain the Mishnah Shvuah differently. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Hay, and our standard Siman is Hay, or a haystack. So here goes. The shepherd who was seen hiding behind a haystack eating two animals two owners had given him without aiding present, surprisingly had used bales of hay as offense to prevent sheep he was given to watch from grazing in other people's fields, and told his friend who was baling hay that just because people may suspect he steals, they should not suspect he swears falsely. Once again, in slow motion. The shepherd who was seen hiding behind a haystack, that must be more on Duff. Hay. The shepherd who was seen hiding behind a haystack eating two animals two owners had given him without aiding present, which reminds us the Gemara records an incident of a shepherd to whom people usually gave their animals in front of aiding, but one day gave them without aiding present. He later denied having received them, but Adam testified that they saw him eating two of the animals. Rabbi Zerah said that if we rule like Rabbi Chiya's first law, that one swears when a claim is partially substantiated by witnesses, then the shepherd would have to swear regarding the remaining claim. Abai asked him, how can he swear? But he's a proven thief and disqualified from swearing. Rabbi Zerah responded that he meant his opponent, the plaintiff, swears to collect payment, which is the rabbinically enacted law when the defendant is disqualified from swearing. So the shepherd who was seen hiding behind a haystack eating two animals two owners had given him without aiding present, surprisingly had used bales of hay as a fence to prevent sheep he was given to watch from grazing in other people's fields, and told his friend who was baling hay that just because people may suspect he steals, they should not suspect he swears falsely, which reminds us Rabbi Yochanan taught that the Shvuah of the Mishnah was enacted to discourage people from seizing other people's cloaks and claiming them. The Gemara asks, "V'neima migu d'chashida mamona chashinama ashvasa." Let us say that since he's suspect in monetary matters, he's also suspect regarding swearing, meaning one who's prepared to steal would also swear falsely. The Gemara responds that we do not say migu d'chashida mamona chashida ashvasa because people are more hesitant to swear falsely than to steal. So once again, the shepherd who was seen hiding behind a haystack eating two animals two owners had given him without aiding present, surprisingly had used bales of hay as a fence to prevent sheep he was given to watch from grazing in other people's fields, and told his friend who was baling hay that just because people may suspect he steals, they should not suspect he swears falsely. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazar. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. Well, the kite enthusiast, kite, that must be more Daf Kuf Yud Tes. While the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, which reminds us, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda argue about destroying Mamu Masur, the property of an informer. One held Mutar Abdul Biyad, it is permitted to destroy his property with one's hand, directly because his money shouldn't be more stringent than his body. Since it's permitted to kill him, it stands to reason that his property may certainly be destroyed. The other held Asul Abdul, it's forbidden to destroy because perhaps he'll have righteous descendants. So, while the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, while using his cop kite to stop a robber from stealing a small kite worth a shava pruta, since it's like taking away the victim's soul, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol gozel's chaver shava pruta ki lo notin nishmas mimenu." Anyone who steals a pruta's worth from his fellow is as if he took his soul from him. So, while the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, while using his cop kite to stop a robber from stealing a small kite worth a shava pruta, since it's like taking away the victim's soul, the craftsman he had commissioned to build him some more kites was busy at work and keeping the shavings, which reminds us, the final Mishnah lists materials left over from various crafts, such as threads removed by a launderer, a tailor, and others, and teaches which belong to the craftsman because the owner of the original material is not particular about them, and which belong to the owner. Shavings removed by small tools belong to the carpenter, but those removed by a hatchet belong to the owner. It concludes, V'imaya ose etzo ba'abais, if he was working on the owner's property, afha nasarim shel ba'abais, even the sawdust from drilling belongs to the owner. Daf Beis. So the Siman Daf Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. Because of the conflicts in front of the Talis seller's house, that must be on Daf Beis, bais. Because of the conflicts in front of the Talis seller's house involving two men holding on to opposite sides of a Talis, each claiming, I found it, which reminds us. The opening Mishnah states, Shnaim Ochsim Batalis, two people came before Basin holding a cloak. Zeomer Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeomer Ani Mitzasiyah. This one says, I found it, this one says, I found it. Zeomer Kula Shali, Zeomer Kula Shali. This one says, it's all mine, and this one says, it's all mine. The law is that each one swears, She'enu Babachos Mechesiyah, that he owns not less than half of it, V'yacheloku, and they divide it. So, because of the conflicts in front of the Talis seller's house, involving two men holding onto opposite sides of a Talis, each claiming, I found it, and two other men claiming to be the buyer of a talis, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Mishnah describes two cases where each claims, I found it, and where each claims, it's all mine. After the first suggestion is rejected, it concludes, Reisha b'metzia v'seifa b'mekach u'memkar. The first case of, I found it, refers to a found cloak, and the second case, where they said, it's all mine, refers to a case of buying and selling, where each claims to be the buyer. The Gemara explains that if only one case was taught, one might have thought that only in that case one might rationalize that he's not stealing outright. So, because of the conflicts in front of the Talis seller's house, involving two men holding onto opposite sides of a Talis, each claiming, I found it, and two other men claiming to be the buyer of a Talis, a basin was set up where taking a shvua was required by the Rabbanan to divide the items, to prevent people from grabbing cloaks of others and claiming it is theirs, which reminds us. The Gemara asks that the Mishnah which rules the cloak is divided with a Shavua does not accord with Simchas, who holds Mamun HaMutav HaSafek Chokim below Shavua. Money whose ownership is uncertain is divided between them without a Shavua. The Gemara concludes that the Shavua is a special Takana de Rabbanan, Shoye Ko Echov Echod Holch Vetocha Vetalisa Shal Chavero Vomer Shalihu, so that every person should not go and seize his fellow's cloak and claim, it's mine. Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gemal, a camel. So here goes. The camel, that must mean we're on Dav Gimel, Gamal. The camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Which reminds us, the Gemara says that the Mishnah's ruling to divide the cloak does not accord with Rabbi Yosef's ruling, where two people deposited money with someone, one leaving one mana and the other leaving two mana. And they later dispute who left two mana. The Rabbanan say the third mana is withheld until proof is brought, but Rabbi Yosef says, Im ken mahip sid rama. If so, what does the deceiver lose by deceiving? El hakol ye munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Rather, it should all be set aside until Eliyahu comes to induce him to confess. Here too, the cloak should be withheld. The Gemara answers that in the coin case, it's because the third coin definitely belongs to only one of them and cannot be divided. In our Mishnah, it's possible they picked up the cloak simultaneously and jointly own it. Since each party may truly believe he's the owner, Rabbi Yossi would agree to divide it. So the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shavua on the remainder, which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya taught that if one claims a mana, which is 100 zuz, from his fellow, which the defendant denies completely, and witnesses testify that he owes 50 zuz, he pays the 50 zuz and swears on the remainder, like one who confesses to part of a claim. For the admission of his own mouth should not be greater than the testimony of Edim based on a Kal Vachomer. So the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shvua on the remainder. But had no room for the man who was motive and mixes to his creditor because he wasn't brazen enough to deny his total obligation. Which reminds us, Rabbah asks, why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? He should be exempt for having volunteered the partial admission. He answered, Chazakein Adam Meis Pana Bifnei Bal Chovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. The Gemara explains that the reason we do not say, since he's willing to lie and steal part of the debt, he would also swear falsely, is because this person would really want to admit to the full debt. He didn't because he's merely evading the creditor to stall until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear, so he admits completely. Daf Dalet, so the Siman Daf Dalet is a Delet, a door. So here goes. The two Edim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a Basin door. Door, that must mean we're on Daf Dalet, Delet, door. The two Edim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a Basin door with a picture of Piv and Edechad painted on them, which reminds us Rabbi Chiya had derived from a Kal Vachomer, that if Piv partial admission obligates a Shvua, then certainly Edim who testified to part of a debt obligate a Shvua. The Gemara ultimately derives it from a tzad shava, a common characteristic between piv and a single witness. That as a result of a claim and denial, they come to Beis Din. And the defendant swears when the claim is supported, as Tosos adds, so the same applies to aiding. So the two aidim coming to testify to part of a debt, to obligate a shvua, who walked through a Beis Din door with a picture of piv and edachad painted on them, overheard one man tell another, I owe you only 50 zuz v'heloch, and here, it is yours. Which reminds us, Rebbe Chiya approved another ruling of his from our Mishnah. If someone claims a mana from his fellow who responds, I owe you only 50 zuz v'heloch, and here, it's yours, meaning they're unspent and still in the lender's legal possession, Rebbe Chiya says he must swear because it's still considered a mudah b'miksas. This is supported by our Mishnah where the litigants swear although the other party has possession of the half they're giving up. Rav Sheshe says one who admits with halach does not swear because the admitted 50 zuz are as if the lender is holding them in his hand and not part of the claim, and the remaining claim is fully denied. So the two aiding coming to testify as part of a debt to obligate a shvua, who walked through a basin door with a picture of piv and edachad painted on them, overheard one man tell another, I owe you only 50 zuz v'halach, and here, it is yours, standing behind a lender holding a shtar that just said slime without specifying an amount, which reminds us, V'chi was challenged from a brisa, slime, denarim. If a shtar says the borrower owes slime or denarim without an amount specified, and the lender claims the debt is 5 slime or denarim, while the borrower claims it's 3, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says he must swear like an ordinary motive b'miksas, whereas Rabbi Kiva says he does not swear like one who returns lost property, since he voluntarily admitted to more than the 2 implied by the shtar. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which did they learn that Edim who testified to part of a debt obligated Shvua, and that's learned from a Tzad Shava of Piv, the Eid Echad, that's on Daf? Dalad. Good number 2. Which Daf do we discuss the din of a thief returning a sheep to the pen without the owner's knowledge, that's on Daf? Kafiyat Chesk. Good number 3. Which did they learn why the Mishnah included both cases of two people claiming to find a lost talus and two people claiming to buying the same item, that's on Daf? Bays. Good number 4. Which of them when a shepherd will not lend animals he was hired to watch graze in other people's fields because ain adam chotev lolo, that's on Daf? Hey. Good number 5. Which of them when a craftsman can keep the shavings from the wood since the owner is not makpid on them, that's on Daf? Kufiyot Tes. Good number 6. Which stuff with the case of a shepherd who was caught eating 2 of the sheep in his care, that's on Daf? Hey, good number 7, which of the one Rebbe Chiya holds that one who swears when part of a debt is established by Edim is based on a Kavah Chomer, that's on Daf? Gimel, good number 8, which Daf do we discuss a case of swearing about a shtar that does not have a specified amount, that's on Daf? Dalet, good number 9, which Daf do we learn that we do not say that since one is suspected of stealing, he's suspected of swearing falsely, that's on Daf? Hey, good. And number 10, which stuff be the case of a river flooding stolen land and the question if karka nigzelis, if land can be stolen, that's on Daf? Kufiyat Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhart from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.